Spears did I ever think that I would walk out on stage to preach and Britney Spears would be playing. But here I am. So, well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the assistant pastor here, and it's my honor and privilege to come and speak to you guys for the next couple weeks while Jamie's out on vacation. But before I get into my message today, I want to give you a quick update with some of the things that we have coming up in July here at LifePoint Church. It's going to be a busy, fun-filled month, to say the least, I guess. So, like I said, the next couple weeks I'll be preaching. We're going to be going over a short message series called Toxic. And then after that, on July 17th, we are not going to be meeting here. We are going to be meeting at Middletown Manor Swimming Pool for a poolside worship service, baptism. We're going to eat some lunch. And, of course, we're going to do some swimming. So we'll be there. If you show up here, sorry, no one's going to be here. So show up there, and it'll be awesome. After the 2 weeks after that, July 24th and the 31st, Jamie's going to be doing a message series called Q&A. And I'm really excited about this. I think it's an awesome series. It's an awesome idea. So but basically what's going to happen is you have the opportunity to help write the message. So on your connection cards, if you look at the bottom of it, there's a place for you to write down any questions that you have. And Jamie's going to take those. He's going to pick some questions out of that, and he's going to use that to give his message and answer those questions from Scripture. So this is your opportunity to get the answers to those, what does the Bible say about so-and-so questions. So, but the only thing with that is if you don't write down questions, we got nothing. So help us out here. We're excited about this. So I know you have questions, so write them down. You can also email them to us, or you can message us on Facebook, some of those questions, and it'll be awesome. Really look forward to that as well. Also, we have several upcoming classes, events, opportunities to connect with each other, opportunities to serve. So if you want any more information about that or any of the other things that I've talked about, make sure you see the information center on your way out the door. I know sometimes it gets a little crowded there, but she's going to be working very hard to try to answer all your questions and get you the information you need. So, but other than that, we're going to go ahead and jump into this message today. So I'm going to have my seat on my stool that I always have. It's kind of my trademark now. I call it my security blanket. So whatever. So, but this is what I do. So, but today we're going to go over a message series called Toxic, and it's going to be for the next 2 weeks. And we're going to talk about toxic habits, and we're also going to talk about toxic religion. But today we're going to talk about specifically about toxic habits. So, but before we go any further, I want to give a quick working definition of the word toxic. And toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. So when we translate this into life, it's basically anything in our lives that's toxic. Those things that if left to hang around and not deal with have the potential to poison, to impact, to affect, to challenge, to change us personally. Whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, they have the potential to not only just change us, but to absolutely wreck and destroy our lives. Often, when we start talking about habits in any type of setting, our mind tends to go to some of those key things, those initial thoughts of maybe of drugs or excessive alcohol or nicotine or obesity, caffeine. But in reality, toxic living is more than just zeroing down a small list of things. It's that there's everyday things that can rob us of joy, of happiness, and of peace. And if they're left to fester, then they will absolutely destroy us. So today I want to spend the next several minutes talking about toxic habits and what we can do to get rid of them before they destroy us. And when we look into God's Word to see what He has to say about habits and how we can overcome them, we run across a passage in 2 Peter that has the potential to just kind of stop us in our tracks and just really just look at our lives and reflect. And see where we're at. And it's in 2 Peter 2:19, and it says this: "For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." Another translation in the Bible says it this way. It says, "For you are a slave to whatever controls you." And when we look at our culture and the world around us, we see so many people that are slaves to certain things. They're slaves to their job. They may be a slave to bitterness or jealousy or other people's opinions or gossip or maybe anger. they're slaves to those habitual habits that they repeat over and over and over again. And when I think about toxic habits, I think about the number of families that have been torn apart by simply habits. About the number of people that have maybe lost jobs, or the number of friendships and relationships that have been destroyed because of these toxic habitual habits. A toxic habit is a life-controlling habit where we find ourselves doing something that is completely destructive. Consistently doing something that, honestly, we wish we wouldn't do, but we just keep finding ourselves doing it anyways. One of the greatest, most influential men in the New Testament is a man by the name of Paul. And Paul was extremely, extremely passionate about advancing the kingdom of God. And he started many, many churches. And when he was writing a letter back to one of the churches that he started, Paul said this, and it's in Romans 7:15. He says, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Paul says, "My intentions are good. I want to do the right thing. But I end up doing what I don't want to do." Haven't we all found ourselves in that place at some point in time in our lives where we know that there's something in play in our life that probably shouldn't be there? Something, whether it's spiritually, physically, emotionally, in our lives that has the potential to completely destroy us. But no matter what we do, no matter what we try, we end up doing the very thing that we hate. We do what we don't want to do. I heard a story this week about elephants and how they're trained once in captivity. And I don't know if you've ever been in the circus or not, but if you see, when you're there, you'll see elephants being led by people with just a rope tied around their foot. And these massive elephants. And I don't know about you, but when I see that, I'm kind of like, how in the world is this 6,000 to 10,000 pound animal being led around by this little man in a horrible suit with just a rope, and the elephant's not crushing him, and it's just a rope tied around his foot. And if you've never heard this, basically how they train elephants is that they take, when the elephant is small, when it's a little baby, they take a huge chain, a very heavy, thick chain, and they stake it into the ground. And then they tie the other end around that elephant's leg. And that little elephant fights, and he struggles, and he works to try to get free. And week after week, and month after month, he does this until he finally realizes, "I can't get away." So later on, once the elephant is huge, up to 10,000 pounds, all the trainer has to do is simply tie something around that same foot. And then he can lead that elephant wherever he wants him to go. And if that elephant just realized and just knew that here's this man that he could crush in the blink of an eye, that it's just a rope that's tied around his foot, but yet he's being controlled by something that essentially has no control over him. Only the control that he gives them. And when we think about toxic habits, those things, those moments where, like Paul, we find ourselves doing what we don't want to do, we realize that we're really slaves to something that has no power over us. Only the power that we choose to give it. Here's the reality. We all have things in our life that have the potential to enslave us. That has the potential to put us essentially in this same position as this elephant. But that's not God's plan. That's not his heart for us. Galatians 5:1 is very powerful, and it's very clear in what it says. And it says this. It says, "It is for freedom, not for slavery, but for freedom. Not for toxic habits that wreck us, but it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." God's heart is not for slavery. God's heart is for freedom. Christ died on the cross and rose again, not for slavery, but for freedom. There's not a person here today or that may be listening on the podcast that doesn't have at least the hint of a toxic habit in their life that has the potential to ruin them. But yet we have a God who was willing to give his only son. And his only son was willing to give his life, not for slavery. Please hear this, but it was for freedom. It's for freedom. So it begs the question to be asked, how do we get it? How do we find this freedom? And I don't believe that there's a person sitting in here today that can't identify that toxic habit that's and say, you know what? That's really what I want. I want to be set free. I want to be free of this toxic habit that is ruining my life. I don't want to find myself standing in that all too familiar spot again, you know, standing in that moment with guilt and shame and anger and frustration, saying, why do I do the things that I hate? Why do I do what I don't want to do? So how do we find it? Today I want to give you two ideas to think about that I believe will help us get to this place of freedom. And they are simply to push reset and then to create a new pattern. If we want to overcome the toxic habits that find themselves showing up in our lives, it requires us to walk over the reset button and push it. And in the midst of doing that, we have to create a totally new pattern. And this is basically what Paul is talking about in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when he says this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So briefly and as simply as I can, I want to unpack this idea of what it means to push reset and what it means to create a new pattern. So push reset. Now, I'm sure that the majority of us have had some type of experience or knowledge with an electronic device. And some of us may say, you know, that we really value that electronic device and we've had a lot of success with them and that we get it and it's essential to our lives. But I'm sure that probably everybody in this room would say that at some point in time they've wanted to curse at their electronic device, that they've had a bad experience, that it's frustrated them and it's not gone the way it's supposed to go. You know, the satellite just goes out right when someone's getting ready to catch the pass with 3 seconds left in the game and you don't know what happens. You don't know whether they caught it or he dropped it. Or you're online doing a huge application that's taking you 30 minutes and all of a sudden the internet freezes. Or if you were like me in high school, that every time that you went to open up a program on someone else's computer, not your own, not mine, but someone else's computer, I got that blue screen of death. Anybody know what I'm talking about, the blue screen of death? There's a few of y'all out there. But there's nothing more frustrating than when we're sitting in front of a device and we have to say, why don't you work? And we're left with really only one option. And if you call pretty much any IT department, they're going to tell you this. They're going to say, well, first, I need you to shut the device down and then restart it. And I've experienced this with my computer at work. I've experienced this with my iPhone. I've experienced this with my router at home. You know, Insight doing the power down, power up campaign. You know, we've experienced this all throughout life with these electronic devices. And I'm really not sure why, but there seems to be something magical that happens when we restart that device. Because most of the time, it works perfect. But we have to push the reset button. Romans 12:2 essentially gives us, in a spiritual sense, a reset button. When it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, I don't necessarily know what he was thinking when he penned this, but I can imagine that it was something like, you know, in our culture today, there's kind of this pattern that if it feels good, do it. If it's working for you, then hey, do your thing. And in our culture today, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, just go for it. You know, you only live once. Live life to the extreme. And in the midst of that, there are some habits that pop up that quite honestly are just toxic. And Paul says that's not the way to go. Don't conform to that pattern. Don't fit that mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you would be changed. What Paul's talking about here is a total and complete transformation. That you have one thing here, and then it becomes something totally radically different. And And Paul says, because of a God who loves us, who is willing to give his son, and his son willing to give his life, that freedom is available. But it requires that we walk over and push the reset button. Now, I don't know what toxic habits or behaviors that are stirring in you, or what maybe you've identified as I begin this conversation, but nothing requires more courage than walking over that reset button and actually pushing it. Today, my hope is that in you and that in us, there stirs a desire that says, you know what? Honestly, I need a reset. I need a restart. That there's some toxic habits that are just kind of hanging around that have the potential to do some serious damage. That's going to take me somewhere ultimately that I don't want to go if I don't stop this. That will take me to a place of slavery, of bondage, and lack of freedom. That I'm basically that elephant being led around by something that I've allowed to master me. That in reality has no control over my life. Only the control that I give it. And the only way to break that cycle is to walk over that reset button and actually push it. And understand that it doesn't necessarily just happen once. You know, we're all human. We're not perfect. It requires constant guard. And sometimes, you know, we have to just run back over that reset button and push it again. But when we do that, we have to remember that we have to create a new pattern. A very brilliant Catholic monk named Thomas A'Kempis said this about habits. He said, habits overcome habits. Basically, what Thomas is saying is that if you want to overcome a toxic habit in your life, you have to replace it with another habit. If you want to get rid of that habitual negative pattern that you have in play in your life, you have to create a new pattern. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to create a new pattern. So what does that new pattern look like? How do we do this? As we close today, I want to try and give you a new pattern to install in your life. Because as we've said, habits overcome habits. And James chapter 1 basically gives us the pattern that I want to challenge you with today. James wrote this, "Do not merely listen to the word and do so deceive yourself. Do what it says." So basically saying, don't just hear it, but do it. Do it. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. So here's the pattern. I want to give you three things today that I want to challenge you with. I want to challenge you to pray. I want to challenge you to ingest. And I want to challenge you to act. So the first challenge is to pray. And I think a lot of times we tend to overcomplicate prayer in our lives, that you have to have some theological degree to do it, or letters at the end of your name, or that it requires a certain understanding of who God is and what he's all about before we can do that, or that there's some special language that only God knows and we have to use all these these and thous while we pray. But nothing can be further from the truth. If you've taken our 201 class, you've probably heard me say that prayer is simply having a conversation with God. It's just a conversation. And it's a lot like a conversation that you might have with your spouse or a friend or a family member. It's a conversation where you share your heart and they share theirs. It's a conversation where you talk and they listen, and then they talk and you listen. And there's something amazing that happens when we carve out time every day to have that conversation with God. Now, does God change when we pray? Or does prayer change things? You know, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to kind of unpack those theological questions. But I do know one thing that changes every time we pray. We do. We change. And in our lives, when we walk to that reset button and we actually push it, and we begin to create that new pattern, prayer, that conversation with God is so crucial. So what I want to encourage you and challenge you to do today is I want you to take time out every day, whether it be just a few minutes or whatever you're comfortable with starting off, but take some time out every day and pray. And I know initially if prayer is new to you, that it can seem a little awkward and uncomfortable, and you can say maybe like, you know, am I just talking to myself? You know, God, can you hear me? You know, are you there? You know, do I have to get down on my knee? But wherever you're at, just simply talk to God. And ask him to speak to you. Ask him to reveal himself to you so that you can better understand him. The second thing I want to challenge you to do is to ingest God's word. To take it in. However you are made, whether it be that you sit down and read the word, or maybe a devotional book or a devotional podcast that has scripture read in it, or maybe it's just sitting down and popping in the Bible on CD or whatever it is, but ingest his word, to take it in. And I think for some of us, it's really difficult because we think of the Bible as this ancient, old, dusty, irrelevant book that just sits on the bookshelf or is on the coffee table. But the Bible is an amazing book that tells a story. And it's a story that gives meaning to everything that we do. It's a book that gives light in time of darkness. And it's a book that provides direction for your life and mine. And it's completely life-changing when we allow our hearts and our minds and our souls to engage the story that's in Scripture. So what I want to challenge you again to do is, again, take a moment out of every day and just ingest his word. Just take it in. It could be on your drive to work, popping a CD and listen to the Bible. Or it could be sitting down and reading. It could be listening to a podcast. However you're wired, but just take in God's word daily. And as you do that, I invite you and encourage you to say this prayer. Just tell God, ask God to speak to you. Ask him to reveal his word to you and help you to understand it. And ask him to allow his story to intersect your story and to give your story direction. Because the only way that we're going to overcome these toxic habits is to press restart or to press reset and to create a new pattern. And I can guarantee that in every new pattern that God wants us to create in our lives, it's going to include prayer and ingesting his word. The third and final thing that I want to challenge you with today is to act. There's nothing more devastating to individuals, to the church, to Christ followers, and to us than to allow our minds and our hearts to engage God's word, his truth, his wisdom, and then to walk away and not do it. It is essential to this idea of creating a new pattern to read it, to hear it, to engage it, and then to encounter God's word and encounter him at that level, and then to walk away and not do anything. It's just like the man who looks at himself in the mirror, sees himself, and then walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Just act. Do what it says. There's no doubt in my mind that all of us in this place today have at least a hint of a toxic habit in our life. And the scripture invites us to walk over that reset button and push it. And when we do that with passion and with courage and with desire and with discipline, we need to create a new pattern. And to do that, I simply leave you just these last three things: to pray, to ingest his word, and to just do it. Let's pray.